Alan, another performance that you must be happy with, especially going 70 minutes without conceding.
Yeah, you know, the start, a bit freakish. We should be catching ball, but for anyone who wasn't here, it was a really strong wind the first half, and Jack said it went up, he thought it were going to come, and it didn't, so he was a bit hesitant to get there. The bounce didn't go for him. I mean, it's a freakish try, and it is what it is, we can't handle that, but I just thought after that, they got that other one, but then after that, we just felt a bit more comfortable, and we defended tremendously, I thought, today, especially the second half in that last 10 minutes. I think they had four, possible five back-to-back sets on our line. They just, you know, I've got a good team here and I've got a good group who are starting to believe in themselves.
Did you see a bit of that ability where you stick into games? Because at 12-0, they had the ball, they've basically gifted you a penalty and you really punished them for that.
Yeah, you know, we spoke about, we didn't think we started bad. It was a set-for-set game. And we knew that if we played quicker, but I just thought in the first bit, we didn't play quick enough. So, I mean, like, hit, drop, play. And we tried to wrestle, and it just didn't work for us. And everything was slow, and they can defend off slow rucks. But I think you saw the last 15 minutes of the first half, and especially the second half, everything was quick from us, and it was difficult for them.
Ryan Ince got a hat-trick last week, two tries, both excellent sort of modern-day winger acrobatic finishes, the way that he can find the corner from basically having no room, both of them.
He's superb, you know, he's brave, he's tough, and, you know, people judge and say, look how he carries off his line, and him and Butty, you know, they're just two absolute war horses in a way, but he can score tries what people can't even think about doing, you know, and he dives, and he's good with his hands, he switches ball, and he's getting his rewards, you know, because he's getting a lot of praise now, and he fully deserves that.
Thought Tom Gilmore managed the game really well, especially in that last 20, we've seen that from him a few weeks. I suppose as a coach that's probably something you expect of him, but always good to see it coming to the fore.
Yeah, there's no one better in the game when he's on song and he's leading the team around. He'll just go, he'll put you in places you don't want to be as an opposition team. Obviously I wish Anto wore his slippers today, but no, he's good, and we just need give him the tools to do that. So, you know, it's conversations now at training, is he demands we need to be here. So it's down to the boys to get him there, and they're doing that. I thought our interchanges was superb again today, where they come on the bench, especially Nathan Wilde and Ryan Lannan making the debut. Ryan Lannan was unstoppable at times, and in his unpreferred position, he normally likes it in middle, and I thought Nathan Wilde put a massive stint in.
Yeah, I was going to mention them two, and also Lucas Green, who I thought, you know, again, it's his third week in a row, and we've said that in previous, you just sense that if you can get a few games under him in the same team, he he's obviously a really good player.
Yeah, he's... The more he plays, the better he will be. He's been a bit of here, there and everywhere, as it's common knowledge. But he's finding a happy camp with us here now, and he knows his role. When he comes on, he knows he has to change the game sometimes for us, and he did that. I just think his leg speed's brilliant when he goes into contact, how he moves, how he evades, and, you know, he's got a big future in the game, I think.
Yeah, he sort of powers his legs while he's holding them with his upper body, isn't he? It really makes a difference. And we saw that with Ryan Lannan. You mentioned had an excellent game. The way that he goes into the tackle, probably shown within 60 minutes why you wanted to sign him for next season. You must be delighted to have him in on board as early as this.
He's very smart as well. So, you know, I've coached Ryan at Swinton. I'm fortunate to have him for three games, and then Halifax signed him, or gutted. But he's very professional in how he comes about in the changing rooms, and if you watch his wrestle in contact, he's always turning him on the back, he'll move the arm, he'll slow that ruck, and then when he gets the ball, he's moving his legs around, they can't chop him, and then if he feels he's not going to ground, he just gets more and more metres because they're loose on him, and he's really smart at that, and I just think he's got to bring a lot to us, especially we've got some good young players, but he'll bring that experience as well.
What was the situation with Jordan Johnson? He seemed to go off with, I don't know if it was a head knock or something like that in the first half.
He broke his nose. The doctor wouldn't put it back in. He said, you need to go to hospital, so I don't see the point of that. But he was ready to go back on. He needed a bit of rest. He's been absolutely phenomenal for me, and he's playing busted, and basically he's had a 60-minute rest today, so he'll be fresh to go next week.
You must be pleased with the business that the club's got done ahead of the transfer deadline. It feels like you've made a lot of practical signings, a lot of sensible signings, and almost forward-thinking signings in case anything happens to one of your frontline players.
Yeah, and I asked Chris and the board, you know, can we give me something here for push this club into them playoffs? And without it, I don't think it would have been a bit tough ask. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, I just think they've been brilliant with me. And I think who we've brought in really benefits us. You know, we've got some youth in there. Brett Bailey's come in, and game time might be difficult for him, But then, you know, we kept Keenan and Wilder's show today, and then Matt Fleming's fit to go now. He's ready to go. That's another one, basically. Martin Riley, 3 or 4 weeks, and he's ready to play. So we've got 3 and 4 in every position, which is brilliant now. And I've said to the group, we're going to need them. You know, we've got 8 games left now. We're going to need everybody. And there'll be times where I feel, if I make changes, it doesn't weaken the team. So we might have to do that to be smart for the games we're playing. And hopefully we'll be announcing one more tomorrow.
There was no Sam Wilde or Rod Rely today. What's the situation with them?
Just unavailable, really. Rod, they both played every game, and they've been outstanding for us this year. Rod's feeling his calf really tight around his Achilles area, so we can't take risk. We don't want to lose them. And Sam Wilde's feeling his hamstring. He's twinged, so we've just got to be smart. If it's not next week, it's not next week. But I think today, Max Roberts and Lannan Shaun, you know, they could quite easily step in for us, which is good.
And we've spoke the last few weeks about this block of 6 games that you had. You've got 3 out of 3 so far. Must give you lots of confidence going into Featherstone next week and then that big game against Wakefield.
That's a huge game for us next week. If we can beat Featherstone next week at home, it puts us in a fantastic position. You know, and then we go to Wakefield with, hey lads, hey, let's go and have some fun. Let's go and play our best rugby. Let's enjoy playing that game. You know, and let's show Wakefield what we're about. But we can't think further ahead than Fev. And it's just a massive game. I can't tell you how big it is, because they play the Toulouse the week after. So it potentially we take 4 points from them. If I'm realistic, out of 6 games, I think if you win half of them, you come away quite happy. You play Halifax away, Bradford, Featherstone, Sheffield, Wakefield. You're happy, and you come to a place like Whitehaven, what's very difficult to win at. So we're 3 from 3, and we can't be any happier than that.
I can't let you go without asking you about the Alan Coleman t-shirts. Is that you? Have you sorted all your Christmas presents out for everyone else now?
Yeah, listen, you know, it is what it is. I'm absolutely over the moon with how fans have taken to me. I love this club. I love it like it's my own. And I get that. It's a lovely thing here. And I can't thank Donna enough from the market. You know, what a lovely gesture. But no, I won't be wearing one, unfortunately, because I'll get ribbed to hell.
Four straight wins then for Widnes with that one at Whitehaven, and tees us all up nicely for the next 3 weeks, Mike, which I guess starting with the game against Featherstone could almost secure, well, they are going to be pivotal, but Widnes could almost get 1 foot in the playoffs with a win against Featherstone this week.
Absolutely, and looking ahead to that fixture, I mean, it's mouth-watering, isn't it? I think if we do manage to get over the line in that one, you know, I think you are absolutely in the driving seat. You know, looking at the 8 games left, I think we could win 5 or 6 of them at least. Certainly this team is absolutely capable of that. So, yeah, massive game on Sunday, and let's hope for a big crowd.
Yeah, I must admit, you couldn't not think about the first game post-administration against Featherstone, where I think was it 6,000 turned up. It'd be nice to see a similar number to that this weekend, but we'll wait and see. I suppose Sheffield are away at Wakefield this week as well, so a big opportunity for Widnes to go within a point of Sheffield, and once again emphasising that maybe a few weeks ago we were all getting a little bit worried about the teams behind us, but now all of a sudden you're looking at the teams above you and thinking, oh, can we actually catch them?
Absolutely. I mean, like, I think it caught everybody a little bit by surprise. Bradford only hanging on for the draw at Barrow, you know, and you look, it's crazy, like you say, sport 4 games ago, you know, you're on the brink of going on a slide, and you know, the last couple of games have been absolutely fantastic. We've built momentum again, and then you're looking at Bradford now, and are they on the slide? And like you say, you know, we've done really well. The psychological factor to it, and I suppose this is why Alan's a coach and we're not. He's obviously stayed calm and got composure back into the side, and you know, the fighting tooth and nail, and it is hard to see how we don't make the playoffs at the moment. Certainly the way the team is playing, even when we're not playing well, we're hanging in games. And if you're hanging in games, you're always giving yourself a chance.
Yeah, defeats for both Doncaster and York at the weekend meant Widnes now got a 6-point cushion in the playoffs. There's only 8 games to go. So if Widnes were to win 5 of those 8 games, they're going to be in the playoffs, which is a good position to be in. And I suppose getting into the playoffs is one thing, but it might get to the stage maybe in a few weeks where you're thinking, well, actually, if you finish in the top 4, you're guaranteed a home playoff game, and potentially that could be important.
Absolutely, and you look at the fixtures that we've got left, you know, you've got Featherstone in there, you know, you've got Sheffield, we've got another one over Bradford, and some of them sides are obviously going to be playing each other as well, and if we do our job, you know, there's no reason why not we can't take that fourth spot. And let's not forget as well, Sheffield just got over the line last week, and they're coachless as well. So, you know, third might not be out the question. You know, I don't want to put too much pressure on the team and stuff. I'm sure they'll be taking it game by game. But if we've seen many times this season, you know, if we can put performances in, say, like the Bradford game, you know, if we can put a couple of them in against Featherstone and Sheffield, it isn't beyond this team to finish third. It absolutely isn't. Isn't it a nice change at this stage of the season to be talking like this? Because in years gone by, you sat here now and you're probably having to win more or less every game to kind of have any chance of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, last season, I think Widnes were in a round. Obviously, Widnes had a really good start last season, so they were still sort of in touch at this stage, but certainly not only in hope more so than expectation, whereas now at the moment, you're getting more and more expectant as the weeks go on. Let's have a look at the fixtures then. Widnes have got Featherstone at home this Sunday. Then it's Wakefield away on the 18th. Sheffield at home on the 25th of August. Then as we go into September, 1st of September is a trip to Batley. 8th of September at home to York. 15th September away at Doncaster. Saturday, 21st September at home to Toulouse. And then the final game of the regular season is away at Barrow on the 29th of September. Looking at those games, I'm having a chat with Alan Coleman after our interview on Sunday. I don't know how to say this or not, but obviously going to Barrow on the last day of the season is a tough one. But I said to Alan, I said, I can't see Widnes being in a situation based on the games that are between now and then. I can't see it being as desperate as Widnes needing to go to Barrow on the last day to win to get in the playoffs. Now, they might need to win to finish fourth, but I don't think Widnes's playoff destiny, for want of a better phrase, is going to go down to that last game. I think they should have it secured before then.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I can't believe him saying this, to be honest, and putting this to audio, because this could come to bite me very easily. But you've got to think, talking about the playoffs, you've got to think sides are going to be taking points off each other. Of course they're going to. So even if we only won, say, 2 or 3 games, it could potentially be enough. Because no disrespect to Doncaster or Batley, but them teams, I just can't see any of them going on a 7-8 game winning run, and that's what's going to probably have to happen for us to fall out, never mind us not doing our job. Yeah. They've got to go and do that as well, which is a really tough thing to do in this championship. It's like you've just alluded to there, James, you know, Barrow are in them bottom places, you know, Whitehaven, who we've just played, who have drew with us twice, one albeit a pre-season friendly, but we've shown if you're not on your mettle, you know, you'll get beat or you'll certainly struggle. So for one of them sides to go on a 6-7-8 game winning run, it's a lot to ask in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, York went on a really good run last year to sneak in, but I actually think Widnes lost at home to York last season. And I actually think if Widnes had won that game, I think Widnes would have made the playoffs last season. And so that's the other thing to bear in mind, is that Widnes are almost in control of whether these teams have a run. You know, they play York at the start of September, they play Doncaster. So it's ultimately, you know, as we know, it's all in witnesses' hands at this point, and hopefully they can make it and extend the season for a week. I was, of course, you could end up with a trip to Toulouse in the playoffs, which would, I'm sure, be nice, although it'll be October, so the weather will probably have gone south by then. But, yeah, there'll be some frantic searching around for flights if that's the case. Reflected on the Whitehaven game, we saw debuts for Ryan Lannan and Nathan Wild, who both played well, I thought, and I thought Lucas Green had a very good game as well. Widnes did a lot of movement in the up to the transfer deadline or the registration deadline, securing the lone players that they had. So, you know, we knew about Keenan Brandon and Nathan Wild anyway, but securing Lucas Green, Zach Bardzero and Brett Bailey to the end of the season, that was necessitated really by the rules, because the rules say that you can only use dual reg players if they've played four games for you already. And I don't think Widnes have hit the threshold with, bizarrely, haven't hit the threshold of any of the dual reg players this season. So they had to register them on that basis, which is probably a good thing. But also, I think some sensible recruitment from Widnes in terms of Sumner, the winger from Wigan. I'd be surprised if we see him. I hope we don't see him, because the only reason we probably see him is if Mike Butt or Ryan Ince get injured. And then Kieran Tyra signed from Oldham on loan this week. He gives a little bit of a backup option for Joe Lyons and Tom Gilmore. But interesting, maybe, that he might be someone that Alan's looking at for next season. He did mention that he's worked with him before.
Yeah, when I saw the signing myself, James, I thought, first thing that come into my head was, you know, like, in one of your interviews with Alan, he mentioned about going with a slightly bigger squad next year. I think, to quote him, said 26, 27, 28, that figure. And I think in order to do that, there needs to be a couple of players in there that potentially are playing at a lower level, who have got potential, who he is confident of maybe bringing the best out of and putting an arm around them and, you know, improving. And when I seen that signing, I thought, this may be almost a bit of a trial period for the lad. Not necessarily maybe game time as much, but taking a closer look at him in training and see if with a pre-season behind him, has he got it in him to, you know, step up to the level? Because, you know, the Championship and League One, they are two. The gap's massive, isn't it? But smart business, and if it doesn't work out, I'm sure he won't be around next season, but let's hope it does. I don't think it'll do any harm, and if we do the business and keep this winning run going, some of these players may get a little bit of game time if we've secured our playoff spot, just to rotate a little bit. You know, Ince and Butt, certainly Butt has played a lot of minutes this year, so maybe some might get a game or two towards the back end.
Yeah, I suppose what's positive about this approach is that we've not seen it in recent seasons. As you alluded to earlier, we've probably been hopeful of reaching the playoffs rather than expectant, but it's good that it seems a bit more proactive this season. I don't really recall many mid-season or late-season signings in previous years, so good to at least have that sort of thing going on. We'll touch briefly on the actual game itself at Whitehaven. What were your thoughts on it, Mike?
I thought it was a real professional, tough, solid performance. You know, I think if you bracket it in as a score overall, it's probably a 7 or an 8. Was we at our scintillating best? Absolutely not, but we looked in control all times. And I've got to be honest, James, it'd be interesting to see what you think of this, but even at 12-0, I didn't think we was playing badly. I think the wind was horrendous. Anybody who wasn't there on Sunday, I can't comprehend how bad the wind was. I mean, the first kickoff, the ball held in the air, and we was playing against it in the first half, and we was going up a slight hill as well. And that first try they scored, look, I think, if you're being critical, you want him to go for the ball, and if he drops it, he drops it. And we have seen a couple of them in the previous weeks, and it falls kindly to Gebbie, and he goes under the post. And then the second one, I thought, was our highlights don't show it. Actually, it just looks like a barge over, but actually, if you go on Whitehaven's site, they show the play before, and Ryan King burst through the line and a one-handed offload. Support player gets tackled and he goes over the next play. And by the way, he was sensational. I think he's a fantastic player. But even when they scored them two tries, I thought we was holding them defensively quite well. We was just, because of the wind, our kicks wasn't going as far. So they wasn't making what I could see many meters, but our kicks wasn't going very far. And then we got it to 12-12, didn't we? And then as soon as that happened, that second half, we really took control. Step up Tom Gilmore, controlled the game. I thought Lucas Green and Wild coming off the bench, along with Lannan, you know, for pretty much the full game. I thought when they come on, they was making really good post-contact meters. And I think the forwards dug in. And yeah, we never looked in danger, really, in that second half. And like Alan said, to top it off, four or five sets on the bounce. We didn't look like conceding then either.
Yeah, I must admit, I was thinking about your comments on Ryan King. I partly think it was probably his fault that Whitehaven lost, because he gave away that penalty for striking out at the play the ball at 12-0. You know, they're 12-0 up. You know, they got slapped the week before, so there was a little bit of pressure, and I thought a little bit of undue pressure on them, because I don't think you would, you know, they certainly wouldn't have had Sheffield away down as a winnable game, Whitehaven, before the season started. Yeah, they conceded 78 points, but they were 12-0 up. There was, what, 30-odd minutes on the clock. They've got the ball, and he concedes a penalty in possession. Widnes go up and score. Then they go back-to-back. Gebbie made a few howlers in the game, including the sin bin. And I just think that if that... As much as Widnes didn't seem to be in trouble, I don't feel like Whitehaven, at 12-0 up, I don't feel like Whitehaven would have been too concerned. I think they would have been fairly happy with how things were going. But that moment where they concede a penalty with a ball in hand, I just think that killed them. And they never really recovered from that. They just felt it became off at half time feeling sorry for themselves. And then that just sort of carried on. But as you say, Widnes controlled the second half, were a lot better. Ryan Ince got two more tries. He's got 14 now in 15 appearances, which is a decent return. He's now head and shoulders the top try scorer of the season for Widnes. I've seen a little bit of criticism for Tom Gilmore's goal kicking from people who weren't at the match, I should say. He did nail one from the touchline, but in his defence, majority of tries Widnes are scoring at the moment are out wide, and they were almost all exclusively down the left edge on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd say if somebody's complaining in them conditions about Tom Gilmore's goal kicking, they might as well go and have a word with Ryan Ince and say, okay, by the way, instead of acrobatic finishing, can you somehow manage to get under the post? And I'm sure they'd get the answer, get an answer, you know. But no, in all seriousness, I don't see too many kickers getting more than one, maybe two out of them, because the corner flag was taken out on two of them, and then Tom Gilmore himself he finished a try off in the winger's position as well. I think that's incredibly harsh, to be fair.
Widnes, yeah, now they've equaled the best run of wins this season, four in a row. So the game against Featherstone could be a fifth in a row and would be the best run Widnes have had this season. We got a little bit of a closer look at a new signing, or a rumoured new signing for Widnes next season in Jake Mazin. Never really got much of a crack in the game, did he, playing fullback for Whitehaven?
No, and I put that down to our middles really controlling that second half. You know, it wasn't the conditions for a Mazin-type player at fullback. None of our players really managed to have a performance like that. It was tries created, you know, quite close to the line. Some excellent execution, by the way, right to left. But for anybody who kind of is, after watching that performance, a bit sceptical of Jake Mason's capabilities, I'd always encourage them to watch the highlights in that home game. And on a dry track, they'll see what pace he does possess, and the devastation he can cause going forward. And also, he scored an absolute cracker in that Tonkin they took last week at Sheffield, the full length of the pitch try there from nothing.
Yeah, I think we might well see Mason playing a similar role to what we saw maybe Lloyd Roby play last week for Widnes, where him and Owens do a little bit of interchanging. But we'll have to wait and see how that transpires next season. Right, is it that? Oh, one of the questions, and we'll go on to questions, but we'll start with this one. Someone's asked who's on contract for 2025. So we'll run through the ones that we know. So recently, Ryan into Mike Butt, two wingers, they've signed new deals. So you would have to say that we're all right for first choice wingers. On contract already from last season, Matty Fozzard and Joe Lyons, as far as I'm aware. So two solid retentions automatically. New deals have already been announced for Jordan Johnston, Tom Gilmore and Jack Owens. That's what we're up to now, 3, 5, 7. And then of the new signings from the closed season, Martin Riley, who's yet to play for Widnes, of course, because of that injury he picked up. Actually encouraging to hear Alan Coleman saying he might be well be back in a few weeks. Martin Riley, Rodri Lloyd and Liam Kirk all signed 2-year deals when they joined Widnes in the off-season. So that's another 3. And then Dan Murray and Ryan Lannan, who've both signed during this season, they're both on contract till the end of 2025. So what was that, did we say? 12 players already on contract. All you'd have to say probably frontline players, you know, they'd all probably be in your starting 17. So a promising start. I'm sure there's other business already being done, I'm sure. What are your thoughts on how that's shaping up, Mike? And who, we obviously know a couple of players who are departing, Sam Wild and Lloyd Roby, of course. Who else do you feel like we are going to see renew for next season?
What do I think first and foremost? I think what I feel is that spine, having that locked in, is crucial, you know, because then you're just fitting the pieces around it. And I think one thing that we've always struggled with in time gone by is, of course, maintaining the fitness of the spine, but also we've not really had the forward pack going round it, and like your Riley's, Kirk's and Murray's, you're starting to see, you know, a real dominant shape around them. And when we're negotiating with players and they see them players locked in for 2 years, it must make negotiation a lot easier with better players. Because in time gone by, you know, we've been in situations mid-season, certainly to the fans, where, you've only got a few locked in. And if you're negotiating with other players at the same time, sure, they want to see the blueprint. And also the league, you know, the league position to go with it. I'd like to think Joe Edge will still be around. I think he's had a real unfortunate season due to injury, something that we've not really seen from him before, you know, being out for a long period of time. And I'm pretty sure the club will have his back for that, and he's got a hell of a lot to offer. Callum Field is an interesting one, because what you've got with Callum Field, I don't know what your opinion will be of this, James, but you've got the performances of Callum Field, and then you've got how many games Callum Field actually has to play. And I imagine when the time he arrived at the club, you know, we had him on loan and he come from Featherstone, I think he might be on a fair contract, you know what I mean? So it's, do you stick or twist? That'd be interesting to see what you think with that.
Yeah, he's only played 9 games this season. He did play 24 last season. So, you know, he had a few missing last season, but 24 is a decent number. If you could get 24 out of all your props, I'm sure you'd be fairly happy with that. Yeah, you're probably right. He might be one that it comes down to a financial decision. Can they afford? Can they afford to take the punt on him? You're looking at, you'd probably class Riley and Lannan, you're classing as middles. So you've got 4 middles already on contract. I think my position on it is it's always going to be easier to retain who you've got than it is to find to find others. But then at the same time, middles, you know, you look at Lucas Green, middle players are probably the most convenient ones to get in on loan. There's always forwards kicking around available for loans or dual reg just because of the nature of, you know, Super League clubs carry a lot of forwards just in case they suffer injuries. So, yeah, he's an interesting one. I'm with you on Edge. I think Edge would be a no-brainer to retain. And I think some of the others were probably, you know, I know there's been a bit of speculation over Langtree and Gregson. Injury might well prove the downfall for them. I suppose the others, Sam Brooks, is, you know, Sam Brooks got another year in him, probably. I'd imagine he's probably contender for another year just as a squad option. Certainly Max Roberts, I think his utility value is worth him staying. So you're already looking at, hopefully, there 15, 16 players, and then it's up to the coaching staff or whoever to recruit in and around them.
Like saying Max Roberts, as you said, sorry, he slipped my memory. He's been fantastic. I mean, he took that loose forward position by storm, to be fair to the lad. And he had a decent game in the back row, I thought, up at Whitehaven as well. But the beauty of carrying him as well in that forward pack is if you do get an injury in your backs, you've got a no-brainer, you know, shuffle to make, and that's gold. You know, a lot of sides, if a back goes off injured, you're moving four or five people to get somebody to play in the centres.
Yeah, and he's almost a bit like, he's almost done a bit like what Willie Iser did back in the day, where he was predominantly an outside back, but has really put his hand up in the middle and almost thrived on it. I think certainly centre is going to be the key position to recruit, even if Edge stays and, you know, Mason is recruited, you're still probably going to need at least another centre. Of course, Matt Fleming's there. It's, again, whether is he someone that fits into the cap, whatever. I get the impression that Alan Coleman would rather, you know, he feels like he's got a tight group, and you'd have to say that if players want to stay in the group, then he would probably want to keep them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not sitting here and wishing many, if any, you know, to go easily. It's just you've got to make them decisions sometimes of, like, you know, what little ways do we need to improve now to kick on. I think bringing a player into your back line like Jake Mason is one of them ways to do so. I think with Flem, I think for me, he never lets you down. For me, he never has a bad game. I think he's solid. He can play in multiple positions. I think where some people get frustrated a little, and this isn't just Fleming, actually, it's probably a couple of others in the back line of previous seasons, is you just want that little bit more, that little extra spark, that little bit of creativity. But one thing I would say to people saying that is centres are the hardest position to find, and certainly at championship level, it is really, really difficult to get good centres. I mean, you even look at England over the years, and there's not too many, like, great centres, is there? You know, what you can say he's been absolutely, you know, unbelievable.
I always think we've always had a habit, I think, of we try and turn centres into back rowers. So, you know, like if a centre comes through, if he's a decent size, teams will always try and turn him into a back rower because they feel like then they can push the back rower into the mid, you know. Do you know what I mean? I always feel like that's been a habit. Like for me, Ben Curry, as an example, I think he's a centre all day at Warrington. Probably not so much now, he's getting towards the end of his career, but he's played pretty much exclusively in the back row for his whole career. Now, I always used to think of Gareth Ellis. Gareth Ellis started as a centre, and then he gradually moved inside. Ben Westwood was a centre, he moved inside. And it's almost like there's always this, we seem to have this habit of trying to move people in to the middle. Rather than keep them there, and then effectively, then you have big wingers nobody to play in centres because all your big centres you've turned into back rowers, and then it's centre is basically the only ones that are left play there. Whether that is the approach, I don't know, but that's always my impression of it. I suppose we have not. Witness it is certainly an area Widnes have lacked this season. They've not had a strike centre. You know, don't want to hark back a little bit. You know, remember like McNannan. You'd give McNannan the ball, and he'd score a try. You don't feel like Widnes have been in that position in the centres at all this season. And given the sort of rugby that they are trying to play, if you were able to find someone who could get through the line, close to the line, playing in the centres, there's probably tries to be had.
Absolutely, James. I think another example of that in a different way, when we had Toakoa Love, I mean, when we got him, his legs had completely gone, but he had so much skill, he could just unlock a door from nothing. And you are right, if there is anything in, obviously we're signing Mays, and I totally agree with you. I think we'll see, probably coming as a centre, but he'll be dropping to fullback if he is coming in, and we'll see a bit of rotation. But if we do bring another centre in, and they do happen to be somebody who is a strike centre, who has a bit of power behind them and has a bit of ball skill and confidence and a bit of arrogance about them, that would separate you from some of the other teams that are really, really, you know, on a level with you, because there aren't too many around. Maybe Kieran Gillies' try scoring record at Bradford, but other than that, there isn't a lot, you know, out there. So, if fair play to the club if they can find that. I mean, Keenan Bram, for example, you know, on Sunday, I mean, he kind of did that, didn't he? That first try, he created that out of nothing. I mean, we were going side to side, and you know, he had the confidence to go direct to the line and created something out of nothing. So maybe that's a potential. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I mean, he is out of contract apparently at the end of the year, Keenan Brand. So it'd be interesting to see whether he becomes available. It is tough because I would imagine it's quite a lifestyle change, as we heard from Jordan Johnston a few podcasts ago. It is a lifestyle change. It's a big change for a player to move away from a full-time deal or a full-time environment to then drop back to part-time. They've then got to get a job or whatever. I suppose it'll depend on whether Keenan Brand's got any offers from elsewhere.
Stay
full-time.
I do believe, James, looking at his social media posts, he is a barber now, I believe, so he may well be set up for the part-time life, who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he was at Bradford. He had a couple of games, or one game for Bradford, didn't he? You know, the smart money is that Wakefield will go up. Would he be in? I don't know whether he'd be in their ballpark or they'd be interested in him. You know, he's been at Warrington. He's been at Lee. Salford might be a potential for him. He'll no doubt know Kurt Haggerty and people there. So I suppose it depends on. Well, it'll depend on money, I'm sure, but I think it'll partly depend on how keen he is to stay full time or not. And you can't blame players for having that approach, really. So, but it would be good, given he come through the club system and stuff like that. It's always good to have working examples of them sorts of players as the club looks to get back to that sort of pathway, really. What else we got there, Mike, before we sign off?
Next one, I think we briefly touched on this before, James. How many wins do you think we will get out of the next 8 games? I know you said you're not a man for predictions, but I think someone's not give you much choice there, mate.
Well, I mean, we're in the middle of this 6-game run, aren't we, that we talked about. And I said that if Widnes could win 3 out of 6, I think that would be a decent return. And I think that would probably be enough to maintain the playoff place. They've won 3 out of 3. So you've effectively, based on what I'd said previously, they've got 3 free hits now. They only need 5 to absolutely mathematically guarantee. I mean, some people will say, well, they could get knocked out on points difference. But for me, five wins would definitely get in the playoffs. They've got four home games left. I think four will definitely be enough. I think four wins out of eight will definitely be enough for the playoffs. This and Alan Coleman said it, this Sunday's game is actually probably the biggest game for the rest of the season. I think the home game against Featherstone, I think, is the biggest game for the rest of the season, because Featherstone are beneath Widnes in the table. Widnes are on this big run of form, or four straight wins. Where teams are and the form other teams are in, if another win, it really gets you in. It really consolidates that play. So I actually think this weekend's game is the biggest one. Am I going to predict? I think Widnes will win five. I think they'll definitely win five of the last eight. I'm going to stick my neck. I don't do predictions, but I'm going to stick my neck out on the line and say they're going to win five of the eight. And if they don't win five of the eight, it'll be because they put the queue on the rack for the last game.
Not the fact that you've just said it.
That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going for it. I'm a fairly mellow person, so to say that they're going to win five out of eight is quite a big leap of faith for me. But here we are.
Let's hope we do, because I think if we do get the five, I think that will be enough, and hopefully get a couple of big games in the playoffs.
Listen, and I know that the state of the game, whatever, there's no automatic promotion. But I just think it'll be a great, and I hope the club, if Widnes do get in the playoffs, I hope the club do make a big song and dance out of it, because I think just having that playoff game, if you can't be proud and can't shout and dance about that, then there's no point in playing. It's 10 years this year since Widnes were last in the playoffs, technically. You know, I know there was the Super 8s in 2016, but the last time Widnes were in the proper playoffs was 2014 Super League. So, you know, it's not something that almost a generation of fans hasn't seen. So it'd just be nice to have that extra game in October. It stretches out the season, hopefully for 2-3 weeks, maybe. You know, imagine it'd be great actually going to a game. The grand final must be about the 20th of October or something like that. It'd be great to be going to games that late in the year.
Absolutely, and I think we've had a history as well in these one-off games, whether the Magic Weekends, whether the Summer Bashes, you know, semi-final. We do have a history, home and away, of these big games, you know, everybody coming out in numbers and being up for it. So if they market it well enough, you know, there would be a heck of a crowd. I'm not saying should be, would be. I know there would be. You know, plenty of people are listening to this would say the same. So fingers crossed we do get there. Players might have to put off the holidays, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, partly my worry I mentioned in a previous one is my wife's obviously expecting. And so a dart to France might be I think she's due start in November. So a dart to France in October might be frowned upon. But I couldn't not go if Widnes got a playoff game there. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that pans out. But I think... What's really interesting, someone will probably do the maths, I would imagine, nearer the time, is because of this IMG situation, Toulouse and Wakefield, like I said, I think the smart money is Wakefield are going to be in Super League. I think there's still question marks over Toulouse. But how they do in the playoffs might be the difference between them going up or not. And so that puts Widnes in a really interesting position, because Widnes will go into the playoffs with nothing to lose. These teams have probably got everything to lose. And I would say we've seen enough in Widnes this season to say that they could beat any of the teams on the day. You know, had a really good game against Wakefield. Toulouse away, competed. Be interested to see how the home game goes. And that all will be an interesting dynamic, because Widnes will go into the playoffs with nothing to lose. Some of the other teams, there'll be a bit of pressure on them.
Absolutely. I think we've seen that already this season. You mentioned Wakefield. I think Bradford come to our place and... they had all the pressure on them, really, and the expectation, and we played fearlessly in both games. You know, come come short against Wakefield. And like you've just said as well, the same with Toulouse. So, yeah, I mean, some of these clubs, you know, if they was to draw us and play us in the playoffs, I don't think they'd want to play us at all. I mean, Alan Coleman, he loves pointing out, doesn't he? Is it nobody's beat us by 12 points or 14 points? But in all seriousness, that shows we're a real dogged, tough team that nobody wants to play. And certainly with the fan base that we have, if we got into them games as well and taking a big following and screaming and shouting behind the sticks, you've seen Alan already, haven't you? He loves it, don't he, getting involved with the fans. And the players have feed off that, and you would not want that coming to your home ground. And you certainly wouldn't want to be coming to visit it in what potentially could be a cauldron in the DCBL. If you're aiming O'Carroll and you've, for example, and you've been beaten three times already by Widnes, and you're having to travel to Widnes, say, for a playoff game, say it was that way around, that is not a game you're looking forward to as a spectator if the shoe was on the other foot.
Yeah. Anything else before we sign off?
Yes.
Go on.
Just got another one. A quick one, two actually. I've got a quick one. How many loan players are allowed in a season or at once? So this is a quite a relevant question actually, because of all the influx of loans. I believe that there is no limit on how many you can have over a season. However, you are allowed 5 in a match day squad and 6 if it involves a season-long loan. So for Widnes going forward, you would imagine from now to the end of the season, in a matchday squad, we will be allowed 6 loans. So that should clear that up for anybody who's got any had any concerns over that. And then the last one, actually, James, which it'll be an interesting one to see what your opinion is on this, actually. I think it was a good question. The dual reg with Warrington finally seems to be benefiting both clubs. Do you think it will be extended, or do you think we will partner with Lee? And I think in line with the deadline, we've managed to salvage the relationship with Warrington in the nick of time. So that is, asked me 4 weeks ago, this answer would have been so different.
It's an interesting one. Clearly, Alan Coleman's got a better relationship with Lee naturally because of his relationship with Derek Beaumont. But I think the challenge with Lee is, have they got the volume of available players in comparison to Warrington? I think Lee have got a Category 1 academy, haven't they, from next season? I think I'm right in saying that. But it might take them a while to get more players through it, whereas you know that you can knock on Warrington's door in January and there'll be a decent number of players ready for you to go. You know, even if you look now, if Lucas Green does well and Zach Bardsley-Rowe's been doing well, you would imagine that they're not going to be first choice for Warrington next season. So there's every chance that they're going to become available. So I think it's... there's probably been a lot of learning about this year. I think you want to become less reliant on it. And again, I suppose it ties back into Alan Coleman said about wanting 26, 27. Again, he might end up in the same situation next season where you're turning down dual reg players because you've got enough of your own players.
Yeah.
And you can't blame Warrington for then thinking, well, we need to get them out somewhere else. I think my preference would be almost, well, I suppose you could say they tried to do it with Lucas Green, didn't they, at the start of this season, where you say, right, if you get a dual reg player, but he's in camp from the start, but for whatever reason, you know, he couldn't get a game and he ended up going elsewhere. I suppose if you could get a player in that you were happy you were going to give a bit of game time to, I think that works better. But yeah, I mean, the noise is that maybe it will be Lee, so we'll have to wait and see. But I guess it depends on how good the recruitment of actual Widnes players is.
I know, just to finish on that, just coming to me, I'd actually like the Brett Bailey deal. I believe if he doesn't play for us, he can dual reg back to St. Helens' reserve. So maybe that might be a goer, you know, for looking at dual reg players in the future, getting a bit of an agreement in with the home club, whatever club that is. An agreement where, look, we'll happily have him round and, you know, improve him, mentor him and give him opportunities. But if there's ever games, for the reasons that you've just said, that we wouldn't be potentially playing them, maybe an agreement where we can dual reds them back, you know, to the reserves and have that kind of relationship maybe.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I think you've also got the dynamic of, say, Lucas Green and Zach Bardsley will be a year older. They'll have played a decent number of championship games. Warrington might then be looking to get them out to Super League teams. It's also going to depend on how in shape the Super League teams are. Like London this season probably would have taken anyone. London would have taken any Super League player really on loan. Would Toulouse be the same if they went up? Not sure they would. Would Wakefield if they went up? Probably not, because they've got a bit of money. So it all depends on, can Warrington, first and foremost, I would imagine that at some point in the next year, they'll want to get Bardsley Rowe or Lucas Green playing in Super League, whether that's for Warrington or whether it's for somebody else. And so that's another thing to throw into the dynamic as well. But it'd be nice to have a little less of the... I have no problems with loan players, but I'd like to see a lot less of the they've played one game for Widnes and you never see him again. I think I'd like to see a lot less of that. I don't actually think we've had too many. I think Joel Bullock, Jordan Willits is a bit of an unfortunate one because he got injured. But yeah, I'd like to meet, you know, Tom Whitehead played two, Max Woods played two. I'd like to try and get away from having players for one or two games. I think you can see already in Lucas Green that he looks like he's part of the team. He's played three straight games. He looks like part of the team. He celebrates with the team. He's being encouraged by the team. And that's what a team is. You know, that's what being a team sport, supporting a club, whatever, that's what that's all about for me.
Absolutely. And fans buy into it, don't they? Much easier and quicker as well. You know, you build that affiliation to them much easier as well. It's very difficult when you're seeing one come in and then it's a different player the week after and a different player, you know, after that thing. You know, you mentioned Lucas Green and Zach Bardsley Rowe as well. He feels at home now and you can see that in his performances. He's very comfortable defending and they're both getting better and better as the games go by. I mean, Zach didn't really have much of the ball on that right-hand side just because of the way we was attacking. But the both of them, I think they're the examples, James, aren't they, of if you have a lone player, that is how it should be dealt with now. And that's what you want from a lone player. It's perfect for the player. You know, it's perfect for us. And right now, it's perfect for Warrington. And that is what you want out of a lone.
Right, so that's it from this week. Hopefully we'll see you at the DCBL on Sunday. Widnes playing Featherston at home. It'd be great to see a big crowd there. But from me and Mike this week, that's all, and we'll see you next time.